Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Tuesday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Monday, and are the changes they've made to the renting rules in Victoria, do they have any relevance here? Personality tests, psychometric tests, this happens a lot with people go for a job, but is it all above board? And weather. For some reason, Marcus wants to talk about this. But before any of that, oh, the coalition talks, they just keep going and going and going.
Point was raised this morning that other governments take longer, some other governments take longer to come to a conclusion about who's going to occupy the Treasury benches, who's going to be in power. The Germans have a different, they have it flipped over from where we're at. And the question was asked last week, why haven't we followed, seeing we followed MMP from there, why haven't we followed them? So the largest party forms the government and approaches and deals with the others, as opposed to the tail wagging the dog here. It's a good point. It's just that that we didn't. We have to deal with it in this particular way. Now, here is the point that Lewis made. Media does still not seem to have cottoned on to the fact that if Peters goes with Comrade Ardern, how do you think this government's going to be structured? This will apply to something that you haven't thought of, unless you are obsessed with politics, and maybe you have. 54% of the government will be unvetted list MPs. 54% will be people who were not voted on by you. 46% will be electorate MPs. Now, that's obscene in my world. Absolutely obscene. I don't like MMP. I don't like list MPs. I think I detest them. In fact, if you're going to have that many, it should be restricted. And somebody wrote a piece a few days ago. Can't remember where you'd have say 70 electoral MPs, and you might have 30 who were elected according to the statistics on how parties were voted for. If you follow me, so you'd have. Then you'd only have 100 MPs. So you'd have 70 elected MPs and 30, which means you could never exceed that number. You'd have 30 that would be allocated according to the percentages that each party got. Now, that makes more sense to me than the way we're doing it now.
I do worry a bit that Leighton is spending too much of his time worrying about this stuff when there's nothing really he can do about it. And maybe he should just watch something on Netflix, take his mind off things for a while, and then come back on Friday when there might be some kind of announcement. Yeah, like that'll happen on Friday. But, you know, might do, you never know. Now, they've changed lots of renting rules in Victoria. Some of this has to do with whether tenants can have pets or not.
And there's a big difference, I guess, between having a quiet lap cat in your home and a Rottweiler that's tied up outside and barks all day or destroys the garden. However, in principle, as a tenant, you typically have to pay a month's rent in advance as a bond, so any issues that crop up could, presumably, be covered off by that. Now, it's a win, I'm sure, for families who rent. Children really benefit from pets. I think they're accountable to them. They have to be fed and watered and sometimes walked. And I think they help children develop compassion and empathy. And it's incredibly distressing, I'm sure, if for whatever reason a family has to move home suddenly and they can't take the family pet with them. What is also interesting about these new laws in Victoria, it will now also be easier to make minor modifications to a rental home. So you can put up hooks or hang up a few pictures. And while I know that some tenants historically have made a mess of the walls and they bang in a gazillion nails or put up blue tack or hooks, not everyone is irresponsible. And as long as you return the property rather to the same state that you found it, I don't see why you can't hang up a picture or a photo or a mirror. Now, the state of Victoria has recognised that for some people, renting will be a reality for life. And so they've taken steps to help tenants make their house their home. Good move, do you think? And does it even up that ledger a little more by giving tenants a few more rights?
I'm not sure. Does it apply to fish? Where does fish come into it? Because there's a lot that can go wrong with fish, I've discovered. For a start, your 11-year-old might want fish, and then when she gets them, she might then not ever clean the fish tank ever, and then you have to end up doing it. That's one of the things. I'm not sure if the rent laws, rules, regulations can fix that, but I'd love it if they could, even though I don't actually rent. But somehow we could make them apply to my situation. I'd really appreciate it. Got a little bit off track there. Let's bring it back to personality testing. Apparently people at Inland Revenue are upset that they've had their personalities tested. Maybe it came back and they didn't have any.
Can you explain this, Steve, if you will, the rationale for the psychometric testing? What are they? They're based around what? Reasoning, judgment, logic, those kinds of things.
Yeah, that's a fairly good summary. I mean, they're typically split two ways. They're either looking at hard abilities as to whether people can actually work with the numbers of words, et cetera, associated with the job, or those softer personality traits which you alluded to just now, which seems to be the real issue with the PSA at the moment.
How common are they? Do firms in this country use them extensively?
Yes, extensively and growing. I would say most of the NZX 50 would certainly be using them, and we just see an ever-growing proportion of our employers in all sectors using psychometric testing.
You always hear about sports people having to do psychometric tests when they've had a concussion, don't you? So I guess that you don't want to hire somebody with a concussion, probably. I've probably got the wrong end of the stick. I usually do. What about the people who were talking about it with Kerry and Mark?
Have you ever had to do a psychological test to get
a
job?
No, and thank God, because, I mean, have you?
No.
Would you want to do one? If ever a job asked me to do one, I would be like, mm-mm.
The ones I do in magazines always seem to come out about right, though. You know, high-stepping extrovert, loves attention. Loves people.
But can't they tell, like really, really tell what's going on inside if you do them? There's some that are particularly intelligent, aren't they, the tests?
Apparently
so. Or insightful, if you will.
Briggs-Myers is one of the ones that's an oldie but a goodie. A friend of mine was saying that she was looking at getting another job and they wanted her to do a personality profiling test. Are they really scientific or is it all just hocus pocus? Well, certainly the Public Service Association thinks that the IRD... is plain wrong for making people, staff who are reapplying for jobs, to undergo psychometric testing, taking them to court.
Yeah. You may remember back in July, Inland Revenue announced it would be cutting 1,500 jobs, 30% of its workforce. And so a lot of people are being made to reapply for jobs that they have been doing for years. And part of the reapplication process is sitting one of these tests. But as I was saying to Kerry, I've never done one before and would be very reluctant to do one, just in case. I mean, I have no idea what would come out of it, but I have this fear that all of a sudden people would find out I'm crazy.
Well, I mean, he is crazy. All hosts are crazy. I've been doing this job for quite some time now, and every host I've ever met is crazy to one degree or another. He's probably on the lesser crazy side, to be honest, Mark. Slightly less crazy than some. But that should be the first test in any kind, the first question in any kind of psychometric testing is, are you now or have you ever been a radio host? And if they answer yes, then you know that they're crazy. I don't think that... Is that really what they're trying to find out? I don't know. I don't understand why we keep trying to forecast the weather either, because they keep getting it wrong.
The Auckland weather forecast gets a biased kind of go with the weather. There you go, I've said it. Do you think that's right? Because they love weather. If any weather's bad anywhere else, they just go to town on it. But the vice versa is not so true. And I don't know what the solution is. In fact, I've got no idea what the solution is. But I just wonder if that's what people's perception is. Because quite often I'll say to the bosses, oh, it's been a fantastic day here, and they'll say, oh, you're joking, or you've been funny. And people just don't kind of accept it. And I think they're used to this kind of weird narrative that comes from the Auckland Bureau. And the weather is too Auckland-centric, which is fine, but I think it gives a bad representation about what the weather's like around the rest of the country. And they over-celebrate bad weather around the rest of the country, whether it be snowstorms or whatever, and they report anything bad that happens in Auckland, or good that happens in Auckland, but vice versa, they're not there. Tell me if I've gone off-piste. Perhaps I might have.
I think in order to go off-piste, you have to have been on the main slopes of the ski field to begin with. And I'm just not even sure that there's a chairlift anywhere near where Marcus is. Not even on that mountain. However, I do have some sympathy with what he's saying about the weather. But it's not just the weather. It's all things Auckland-centric in this country. I mean, more than half the population lives there, so what can you do? The weather is terrible in Auckland. I can assure you of that. I mean, Crowded House wrote a song about it, for God's sake. I am Glenn ZB. It's been a funny old podcast, hasn't it? Usually is. That's News Talk ZB for Tuesday. It'll be a funny old podcast again tomorrow. I'll see you then.